Welcome to Backbone Radio. I'm your host, Ross Kaminsky. It is a pleasure to be back with you. I had an excellent weekend. My dad was visiting from California. We cooked two roast ducks, believe it or not. I don't know if you ever cook ducks at home, but it's quite a project. Anyway, it went really well. I'm very happy to be here now, I should mention, just because I live way up in the mountains, and it snowed at our house from yesterday morning till this morning. We had, you know, snow all over the ground, and now I come down here, everything's dry, and it's gray, but it's a whole different thing living up there in our winter wonderland. Now, on my website at rossbuten.com, I wrote a piece 2 days ago talking about the current crowd of Republican presidential contenders with a few thoughts on Romney, Gingrich, Tim Pawlenty, Ron Paul, a couple of others. And I also mentioned a few people who are not officially in the race yet, but there was some chance of them getting in the race. And my segment on Mike Huckabee was the shortest of all of the analyses of the individual potential candidates. It just says, Mike Huckabee, : I still say he doesn't run. And so that came true. That came true yesterday. Mike Huckabee told viewers at the end of his Fox News program, and I'm quoting here, "All the factors say go, but my heart says no. My answer is clear and firm. I will not seek the Republican nomination for president this year. I'm going to gladly continue doing what I do." And why wouldn't he? He's having lots of fun. He's making lots of money. He can say what he wants. It's a great gig. He shouldn't have run. And he probably couldn't win. Yeah, I don't think he's the best candidate. I'd love to hear from you if you have an opinion on this. 303-696-1971. Were you a Huckabee supporter? And now that he's out, who are you likely to support? 303-696-1971. Now, I should also mention we had a couple other big, if not surprising, announcements during the week, and that was, or those were, Ron Paul getting in the race and Newt Gingrich getting in the race. Newt Gingrich was on Meet the Press today, and he said a couple things that I found to be eye-opening. And here's my take on Newt Gingrich, and again, I'd love to hear from you, especially if you disagree with me. 303-696-1971. And my email, by the way, ross@backboneradio.net. If you want to send me a response by email or instant message, my screen name is Ross Putin, R-O-S-S-P-U-T-I-N, on the AOL instant message system. If you go to my website at rossputin.com, there's a little box over on the right side, and you can send me an instant message from there. Gingrich was on Meet the Press today, David Gregory hosting. And they talked a little bit about Medicare, among other things, and in general, government involvement in healthcare. And David Gregory asked Newt Gingrich about Paul Ryan's plan to change the structure of Medicare. And Gingrich's answer was very interesting. Gingrich said, and I'm quoting now, "I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering. I don't think imposing radical change from the right or the left is a very good way for a free society to operate. I think we need a national conversation to get a better Medicare system with more choices for seniors." And then he goes on to talk about other things that he thinks can be done. David Gregory said, "But not what Paul Ryan is suggesting, which is completely changing Medicare." Gingrich said, "I think that's too big a jump. I think what you want to have is a system where people voluntarily migrate to better outcomes, better solutions, better options, not one where you suddenly impose on the, I don't want to, I'm against Obamacare, which is imposing radical change, and I would be against a conservative imposing radical change." Now, I understand what Gingrich is saying, but I got a big problem with it, I have to say. The idea that it is imposing an unacceptable radical change by moving people away from a system that keeps people dependent on government while bankrupting our children and grandchildren and creating this rhetorical moral equivalence between Obamacare and Paul Ryan setting up a system that turns Medicare into something closer to a defined contribution program versus this defined benefit program that's bankrupting the nation. To me, that's pretty reprehensible of Gingrich, and I have a big problem with it, and I have a feeling that what he's trying to do here is he's trying to triangulate already. He's trying to play towards the middle, but he seems to have forgotten that he needs to get the Republican nomination before he gets to the general election. And making these sort of wimpy, middle-of-the-road-sounding kind of statements, I really don't think helps Gingrich. It certainly doesn't help him with me. And I should mention, as long as we're talking about Paul Ryan's budget, I've got an interview of Paul Ryan coming up for almost the entire 6 o'clock hour. You're not going to want to miss this. Just less than an hour from now, my interview with Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, chairman of the House Budget Committee. For those of you, well, I'll save that for later. Let's just say I've known Paul a long time. For those of you who are wondering, how did Ross on Backbone Radio get Paul Ryan, especially for a long interview? I've known Paul Ryan for a long time. More on that later. It's a great interview. You're not going to want to miss it. Coming up at 6 p.m. In the 7 p.m. hour, I'm going to be joined by Douglas Fain, the author of The Phantom Song, a fascinating novel based during the Vietnam War, written by Doug Fain, who flew over 200 combat missions in Vietnam for the U.S. Air Force, and is a very interesting guy in his own right. So back to Newt Gingrich for a second. So then they keep going talking about Obamacare, and David Gregory asks, what you advocate is what Obama did with his healthcare legislation when they were talking about a mandate, the individual mandate. And Gingrich says, no, it's not precisely what he did. In the first place, Obama basically is trying to replace the entire insurance system, creating state exchanges, building a Washington-based model, creating a federal system. I believe all of us, and this is going to be a big debate, I believe all of us have a responsibility to pay for health care. Gregory says, you agree with Mitt Romney on this point, Gingrich. Well, I agree that all of us have a responsibility to help pay for health care, and I think there are ways to do it that make most libertarians relatively happy, to which I uttered an expletive which I cannot repeat on the radio, but that's ridiculous. Gingrich continues, I've said consistently we ought to have some requirement that you either have health insurance or you post a bond or in some way you indicate you're going to be held accountable. And Gregory says, but that's the individual mandate, is it not? And Gingrich, it's a variation on it. Gregory, and so you won't use that issue against Mitt Romney? Gingrich, no, but it's a system which allows people to have a range of choices which are designed the economy, blah, blah, blah. So, again, I understand Gingrich's point about free riders, although Gingrich goes on to talk about he recognizes that a large percentage of the uninsured earn $75,000 or more a year, and he says then you and I and everyone else ends up picking up for them. But there's no evidence that those people who are earning $75,000 or more a year end up being free riders on the system. I didn't have health insurance for a very long time. When I had to go see the doctor, I just paid for it. I wasn't a free rider on the system. The odds that someone who's making $75,000 a year can walk away from a medical bill and stick the rest of us with it it's ridiculous. And I will find the data on this to bring you, my listeners, sometime soon. But the idea, Gingrich is right that a large percentage of people who are uninsured make plenty of money, and they just think the health insurance is a bad deal, and they'd rather save the money for a better house or a better education for their kids or whatever, and they take their chances. It's called self-insuring. There is no reason to think that those people are free riders on the system. So when Gingrich comes out and says that we all have a responsibility to help pay for healthcare, you know, who is this guy? This guy is supposed to be the big thinking conservative, the conservative with the good ideas, a conservative who cares about the Constitution, who understands history. I mean, this is ridiculous. We do not all have a responsibility. Let me make this very clear to whoever you are, my best friend, my, you know, someone, just a casual listener, or a guy in the street. I do not have any responsibility to pay for your health care, period. Nor do you have any responsibility to pay for mine. It's that simple. Newt Gingrich's response is here. He's too clever by half, trying to argue for this middle road that'll be more politically acceptable. And to me, it's a cop-out. It's absolutely free of any principles. And Newt Gingrich just lost whatever chance I had of supporting him. Not that there was very much chance of that. When we come back after this break, we'll talk a little bit about Ron Paul. Feel free to call us and join the conversation. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. Join the conversation here, 303-696-1971. Any of you out there going to support Newt Gingrich? Love to hear from you. Or any of you who are going to support Mike Huckabee have another idea right now? Another thing I'd like to say about Newt Gingrich. The Republican Party has a persistent and substantial gender gap, meaning the latest poll that I saw shows women preferring Democrats over Republicans, or at least the difference. Women prefer Democrats to Republicans by 7% more than men do in the most recent poll that I saw. And it's consistent in that kind of, 5 to 10% range that women like Democrats by that much more or like Republicans by that much less than men do. Women also vote slightly more than men do. You cannot win an election without getting women. And how is Newt Gingrich going to get women's votes? This is a guy, not only is he on his third wife, but he was cheating on his wife who was recovering from cancer surgery while impeaching Bill Clinton for the Monica Lewinsky thing. And I understand that the impeachment of Bill Clinton was about Bill Clinton lying to Congress and lying to the American people and not about whoever was kneeling under his desk. But is Newt Gingrich really going to get away? Is he going to get women's votes? I mean, the Democrat establishment or Emily's List or the National Organization for Women, they're going to run ad after ad after ad, like with some, mock-up. They'll show a picture from behind of some guy with gray hair that looks like Gingrich from behind sitting with some, floozy at a restaurant, while his wife's at home sick in bed. I mean, if you think women prefer Democrats over Republicans by 7 points today, will you see what that number is if Newt Gingrich is the candidate? Forget about it. Forget about it. This guy should not be the candidate. And I don't care whether he's on his third wife. In fact, I don't even care, if he was cheating on his wife. I don't think that's good. I wouldn't cheat on my wife. And I hope you're not cheating on your wife. But in terms of pure politics, He is dead man walking. And I think that this stuff that he said today on Meet the Press is also just, it's no good. It's no good. I've got no use for that kind of talk. I think that, I don't know what he's trying to do. You don't triangulate going into a primary. It just doesn't work that way. And as Matt, the producer, said, if Newt is going to try to run to the middle as a semi-moderate, that may be space that's already crowded in the Republican primary, and Newt talking about how he can make libertarians happy. Are you kidding me? Newt can't make libertarians happy, and he certainly didn't today. So if Gary Johnson is in the race, even Ron Paul, Tim Pawlenty, Mitch Daniels, all these guys perceived as more moderate than Newt Gingrich. If a moderate's going to get the nomination, it's not going to be Newt Gingrich. And what else did I want to mention to you? Connor Sweeney, who is Paul Ryan's spokesman and a staffer for Paul Ryan on the budget committee side, told National Review Online that he's not worried about what Gingrich said on Meet the Press, quoting, Ryan's budget remains the only serious proposal put forward on either end of Pennsylvania Avenue that saves Medicare. The solutions offered by Chairman Ryan, advanced by House Republicans, make no changes to Medicare for those in and near retirement, while offering a strengthened, personalized program that future generations can count on when they retire. Far from claims of radicalism, the gradual, common-sense Medicare reforms ensure that no senior will be forced to reorganize their lives because of government's mistakes. The most radical course of action on Medicare is to continue to cling to the unsustainable status quo. And that's exactly right. And of course, when, you know, the polling on this is very tricky for Paul Ryan. The politics are definitely difficult. If you just poll, you know, how do you feel about changing Medicare? A question that generic polls quite badly. If you do a more specific poll, you know, how do you feel about changing Medicare to a program that will keep it from bankrupting the country and, you know, put seniors in more direct control over their own health care? That polls quite well. But the media is not going to be on Ryan's side with this. And I kind of doubt that Ryan's plan is going to get passed. But it still, I think, remains a great bargaining chip, even if it goes nowhere. And the fact that he just said something serious is, I think, really important. So what else? Ron Paul jumped in the race this week as well. And Ron Paul is being taken more seriously in general than he was 4 years ago, in part because some of the issues that he was focusing on 4 years ago and has focused on for many years before that are more in the mainstream of the public's eye right now, including the Fed and budgets and even the Constitution. But Ron Paul made a fatal mistake on Fox News Sunday this morning. And, you know, he's trying to weasel around it a little bit, but at the end of the day, I think he's dead. Again, political dead man walking, because he basically argued that Barack Obama should have informed the Pakistani government about our plan to get bin Laden. And when Chris Wallace asked him about it, he said, well, I didn't say it was wrong that Obama did it the way he did, but I think there was another way it could have been done. And Chris Wallace asked him, you know, well, do you seriously think that we could have trusted the Pakistanis with that kind of information, and that the information wouldn't have gotten to bin Laden and ruined our chances of getting the guy? And Ron Paul's answer was basically along the lines of, well, the Pakistanis have helped us get other bad guys in the past. So I think he's dead. I think that's the end of Ron Paul in any... Remember, again, keep in mind that Iowa and New Hampshire are extremely important, South Carolina as well, and, you know, early Republican primaries. And a screaming libertarian like Ron Paul, which I generally appreciate because I am of that ilk myself, there's almost no way Ron Paul is going to place in the top three or maybe five in Iowa after what he said about that, about the idea that we should have told the Pakistanis. It's crazy. Also, the media is going to play up Ron Paul's desire for the legalizing of drugs. Ron Paul has suggested that heroin should be legal as well as every other drug. He's talked about, you know, the years, 150 years of this country when drugs were legal and so on. And I agree with Ron Paul on that. But you're not going to do anything in Iowa with that, and you're not going to do anything in South Carolina with that. You know, maybe he'll place third in New Hampshire, something like that. Ron Paul will raise plenty of money. He'll be taken more seriously than he was in the past. And people should listen to his ideas pretty closely, because he has quite a few good ideas on domestic policy. But when it comes to foreign policy, Ron Paul's a disaster. And I think that killed him today. So I think two dead men walking got in and a smart guy got out. When we get back after this break, we'll be joined by State Senator Greg Brophy for a little legislative session wrap-up, a little redistricting talk. And anything you want to ask Greg, give us a call.